Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the American Foundation for Equal Rights press conference call. All lines have been placed on listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions following the presentation. Without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Board President of the American Foundation for Equal Rights, Mr. Chad Griffin. Mr. Griffin, the floor is yours.
Thank you, and thanks, everyone, for taking the time to join our call today. As you know, we are going to be telling you the details about two filings that we filed in our case today, one before or one earlier in the California Supreme Court, and then a filing that we just made in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over immediately to the co-counsel in our case, Mr. Ted Olson of Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, and David Boies, the chairman of Boies, Schiller & Flexner. And Ted is going to make some brief opening remarks to bring everyone up to speed on our case and where we are. And I know that a lot of you have called in and will also have some questions about the very exciting news that came out of the Justice Department and President Obama today as it relates to DOMA. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Ted to make opening remarks, and then we'll take your questions. The three of us will take questions. Ted?
Thank you, everyone, for participating. Thank you, Chad. David and I are very gratified by the developments today, and we'll discuss those further. We thought that it would be appropriate for me to briefly capitulate where we stand and what we've been doing in the Proposition 8 case, and I will therefore say a few words, and then David may add some of his own, and then we'll entertain questions with respect to where we are and where we're going. As you all know, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, in which the Proposition 8 case is pending, asked the California Supreme Court for advice concerning a question of California law bearing on the standing of Proposition 8's proponents to appeal last August's federal court judgment striking Proposition 8 as an unconstitutional infringement of the rights of gays and lesbians to marry. The California Supreme Court last week agreed to consider that issue and has promised oral argument on the matter, to use its words, as early as September. Last Thursday, we filed a request with the California Supreme Court to expedite that schedule substantially. And today we have filed with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals a request that its previous order staying the effect of last August's decision striking down Proposition 8 be lifted. We must not forget that this case involves a daily deprivation of the constitutional rights of tens of thousands of Californians, including the children of gay and lesbian couples. The right to marry is not an abstract principle any more than the right, than the same might be said about the right to vote, the right to speak, or the right to practice one's religion. Indeed, the United States Supreme Court has declared at least 14 times that the right to marry is a fundamental right, the most important relationship in life. And the California Supreme Court declared earlier that the denial of that right stigmatizes our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters as second-class citizens. Think about what that means. Every day, our fellow citizens are denied the most basic civil rights that their friends and neighbors freely enjoy. They and their most cherished relationships have been formally branded by their state as different, inferior, and unequal. That discrimination inflicts countless injuries every single day. It is a badge of inferiority that cannot be hidden or suspended while this litigation goes forward. It is a constant reminder, a daily reminder, that California regards some of its citizens as less equal than others. There has been an extensive trial in this case with the most learned experts from all over the world exploring all aspects of Proposition 8's impact and its alleged justification. At the conclusion of that trial, the Chief Judge of the Federal District Court in Northern California found the measure to be a denial of the constitutional rights of due process and equal protection of the laws, and no rational justification for its enactment. It has now been 2.5 years since the right to marry has been taken away from a vast number of honorable, decent Californians. The governor of California and the attorney general of California have each concluded that Proposition 8 is unconstitutional. And just today, the attorney general of the United States, with the explicit concurrence of the president of the United States, has announced that the Justice Department will no longer defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which, like Proposition 8, discriminates against gays and lesbians with respect to the right to marry. How long must gay and lesbian California suffer the daily deprivation of fundamental rights that Proposition 8 inflicts? In this nation, under our Constitution, we submit that further delay is intolerable. We are therefore asking the courts not only to render their decisions as promptly as possible, but also to lift the interim stay of the enforcement of Proposition 8 immediately, so that the injustice and stigma that Proposition 8 imposes will no longer be sanctioned during the pendency of this case. That's my basic statement that describes what we have done and where we are today. And I don't know whether David has had a chance to would like a chance to offer anything in additional preliminarily.
Not really. I think you, as usual, you said it extremely well. I think the only thing I would emphasize is that as the court, the district court in this case held when this case started, the case alleged the discrimination, the unconstitutional discrimination against gay and lesbian citizens. And the court said if that were true, and there was a sound basis for believing that might be true, a preliminary injunction would have been appropriate, because any delay in vindicating constitutional rights is unacceptable. The court nevertheless decided to hold a trial. We had the trial, a three-week exhaustive evidentiary trial, after which there was a thoughtful, detailed, entirely supported decision holding that the Proposition 8 was unconstitutional. We are now 2.5 years since Proposition 8 was passed. We are going on almost a year since it was held unconstitutional, and we simply believe that it is time to allow gay and lesbian citizens of California the same rights that everyone else has.
With that, we can take questions. And for those of you who are looking for all of the filings, I know some of you are emailing us now. Both of our filings are available on the American Foundation for Equal Rights website at AFER.org, both our California Supreme Court filing as well as our Ninth Circuit filing that was just filed minutes ago that Ted just discussed. With that, operator, we can open the floor for questions.
Certainly. The floor is now open for questions. The first question comes from Maura Dolan. Maura?
Hi. How likely do you think the Ninth Circuit is to lift this stay?
This is Ted Olson. I'll take the first shot at that. I wouldn't speculate as to the likelihood of what the court would do in response to our motion, but I would reiterate these points. First, the district court, when it rendered its decision holding Proposition 8 unconstitutional, denied a stay in a carefully rendered opinion describing that there was no reasonable likelihood that the proponents would succeed on the merits, and therefore it could not grant a stay, and it didn't have the power to grant a stay. The Ninth Circuit recognized that, but it did not want to change the status quo during the pendency of the case, but expedited the case and set it for hearing, as you know, in December. We had a heavy briefing schedule and a December argument. At that point, everyone thought, when they entered that stay, that this was going to be a swift journey to conclusion. Now it looks like, with the reference to the California Supreme Court, another year might go by, and now the United States government has joined the Attorney General of California and the Governor of California in declaring that a heightened standard of review is necessary and that the comparable federal statute is unconstitutional, I think those are overpowering reasons for the Ninth Circuit to lift its stay. We've stated in our motion that we filed today that there are no standards in any court in the United States that would justify a stay under these circumstances, and so we're hopeful that the stay will be lifted promptly.
The next question comes from Jody May Chang of Boise Weekly. Jody?
In Idaho, we have a state constitutional ban against same-sex marriage. With regard to Obama's statement today and the Department of Justice not defending DOMA, in concert with or separate from the pending cases that you have ongoing at this point, what does this all mean to states like Idaho where we have constitutional bans?
David?
I think that the message that this sends is exactly the message that your question implies, which is that these bans are unconstitutional. They deprive gay and lesbian citizens of their right to marry, a right that the United States Supreme Court has repeatedly recognized to be a fundamental right, and a deprivation that the evidence is now absolutely clear serves no purpose for society and yet imposes severe damage on gay and lesbian citizens and the children that gay and lesbian couples are raising. So what we would hope is that states would recognize the unconstitutionality of those bans and establish marriage equality without the necessity of litigating each of those provisions state by state. That's obviously something that each state is going to have to determine for itself. But I think that it is now, I think, overwhelmingly clear that these discriminations are unconstitutional.
The next question comes from Duncan Osborne of Gay City News. Duncan?
The hearkening back to 2009, the goal here appears to have changed. In 2009, you folks were talking about taking this case all the way to the Supreme Court and winning there. Now you appear to be saying what you want to do is preserve this victory that you got in the district court in California and do only that. I mean, has the goal in fact changed, and what are the implications here if that is ultimately the end point, that you preserve that victory in the district court? What does that mean for people in California and elsewhere around the country?
This is Ted Olson. Let me take a crack at that. When we filed the complaint in May of 2009, we sought an adjudication that Proposition 8 was an unconstitutional violation under the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses of the United States. A federal district court, has now found that, indeed, that assertion was correct, that Proposition 8 is unconstitutional, and the persons that we represent can be married, and other persons in California who are gay and lesbian can be married, and Proposition 8 cannot stand to deter that objective in individual gay and lesbian persons getting married in California. When we filed the complaint in the first instance, we expected that it was possible that this case would go to the United States Supreme Court, and we were preparing to take it to the Supreme Court, but our objective was to strike down Proposition 8. That's the only thing that we could properly seek to have achieved in that case. We had no anticipation that the Attorney General and the Governor of California would decide not to appeal an adverse verdict. Our job is to represent our clients and the people in California and to strike down Proposition 8. And we would be very happy if that was accomplished. We'd also be very happy if that went to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court affirmed that decision. But there are certain things that the courts have control over and litigants do not.
And this is Chad Griffin with the American Foundation for Equal Rights. And this is a question that we have answered and talked to several of you who are on this call about. The goal of the American Foundation for Equal Rights, as you know, is marriage equality across this country, federal recognition of that and in all 50 states. We will see where we end up with this case. And once we see where this case ends, we would make decisions in terms of next moves. If for some reason this case did not achieve full marriage equality for the country and it stopped here in California, we would look at alternatives and immediately move towards alternatives. So our goals have been the same. Our singular goal, I should say, has been the same since day one. And this case, the Perry v. Schwarzenegger case, remains our focus. But our overarching goal has been stated and remains the same.